In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Good Friday, April 3rd, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. A mass martyrdom in Kenya yesterday as Muslims killed Christians by the scores. Initial reports indicate 145 dead and hundreds more missing. Vice Chairman of the student body, Collins Wetangula, told the media the gunmen questioned students as to their religious commitment. Quote, "If you were a Christian, you were shot on the spot," unquote. The terrorist group Al-Shabaab is claiming responsibility. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Christians must love Muslims. This is the uncompromising message given by Pastor Afshin Ziafat at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission's Leadership Summit in Houston earlier this week. Ziafat told The Worldview that cultural reconciliation is essential because the name of Jesus is at stake on this one.
A Christian ought to have the heart of compassion, knowing that we also were separated from God. We also were enemies of God. And so God reached into our world, put on human flesh, came into our world, was beaten and persecuted, crucified and rose again, what we celebrate this weekend. I mean, he did all of that for us while we were yet enemies. And therefore, I can't look at someone and demand that they earn my love.
Finally, negotiations are completed with Iran on the nuclear arms talks. Iran will contain its uranium enrichment to one facility, and the Western nations will lift economic sanctions. Not all American leaders are supportive of the deal, though. Senator John McCain, chair of the Senate Armed Services Committee, suggested Israel may have to, quote, "go rogue," unquote, and initiate war against Iran. Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu told the press this deal will, quote, "endanger the peace of the world," unquote. The Washington Times reported yesterday that an ISIS attack on Italy is now imminent. Based on official government reports from Libya, the Islamic State will most likely use stolen commercial jets now in their possession. A small pizza shop in Walkerton, Indiana, is closed for now after publicly announcing their refusal to do business with homosexual weddings. Crystal O'Connor, owner of Memories Pizza, told the media that they are in hiding until it's safe to reopen. They are concerned about death threats and property damage. The Indiana Senate Republicans have rushed a, quote, "fix," unquote, for the Religious Freedom Restoration Act law in response to homosexual activists that would force private businesses to support homosexual weddings in that state. Law professor and lead attorney on the Hobby Lobby case, Mark Rienzi, told Breitbart this fix would criminalize religious objectors in the state of Indiana. So far, no indication that the Indiana Republicans would endorse God's law. 54% of American millennials believe that Jesus sinned, according to a recent Barna poll. Another recent survey from the Public Religion Research Institute found that 55% of millennials approve of homosexuality. Correlation? Maybe. An evangelical Lutheran pastor in La Crosse, Wisconsin, sent a vulgar and vile email suggesting rape for a Milwaukee blogger last week, resulting in his resignation 4 days later. The evangelical Lutheran denomination approved of the ordination of non-celibate homosexuals on August 21, 2009. "By their fruits ye shall know them." The destructive force of the sexual revolution on children is yet to be measured. However, a new study from the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children adds a data point. The study found that 1 in 10, 12 to 13-year-old children, confess to an addiction to pornography. The NCAA is admitting they do not take responsibility for the education of athletes in the program. Attorneys for the organization submitted these words in a recent court filing. Quote, "The NCAA did not assume a duty to ensure the quality of the education of student-athletes, unquote. The Institute for Jewish and Community Research surveyed over 1,000 college faculty members and found that among the academic elite, evangelicals are more hated than any other minority group in America. 53% had unfavorable feelings toward evangelicals, compared to a mere 22% negative sentiments toward Muslims, and only 4% toward Buddhists. Prepare for persecution from the academic elite and ruling classes. The one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Luke 10:16. Robert Schuller, founder of the Crystal Cathedral, passed away yesterday after a bout with cancer. He left a bankrupt ministry and $43 million in debt. Schuller held that, quote, "The classical error of historical Christianity is that we have never started with the value of the person. Rather, we started with the unworthiness of the sinner," unquote. We hope that he ended his life with a firm grasp of the worthiness of the Savior and his atonement for unworthy sinners. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. 1 Timothy 1:15. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Good Friday, April 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. God is good indeed.
This is the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And oh, by the way, this Generations Radio broadcast is a product of our family. My father gives us much of the research still. He's 79 years old. Out in Oregon, still splits all his own wood, and then he goes inside and works the research project for the Generations broadcast, and has been doing it for 11 years now, Steve.
Yeah.
And my daughters are doing a huge amount of the work to make this work. My daughter Emily is doing many of the interviews for the Worldview in 5 Minutes program. She does much of the research for it. In fact, she just sent me the stories for tomorrow. So, you know, I do a lot of the writing for Worldview in 5 Minutes. My daughters do so much work. Rebecca is putting all the Worldview in 5 Minutes together in the technical end of things. She does all the posting for all the Generations broadcasts and has for about 3 years. My son did it before that. My daughter, Becca, is very, very, very reliable. She's probably the most reliable person I've ever worked with in my life. But, you know, I just want to say a little tribute, a little credit where credit is due. This program would not happen without the work of my daughter Rebecca and my daughter Emily, both of them tremendous, tremendous. Emily has done so much to kickstart this Worldview in 5 Minutes. I think we've done 140 interviews in the last 2 months, or, you know, 6 weeks, whatever it's been. But anyway, the point being that, you know, praise God for family economies.
Amen.
You know, couldn't pull it off without the help of my family. And I want you know, to know, folks, that we're not done with Family Economics. Family Economics Conference is coming to some town near you. We're looking at San Antonio later this year. And so be aware that Family Economics is probably one of the most powerful movements in this country that may salvage our economy. Certainly salvage family relationships and family identity and solidarity. Family hardly exists anymore. And we're trying to build back some building blocks that will help our social systems in the years to come. We try to do that on this program. But there's something even more fundamental than that, and we're going to get to it on this program. Rudyard Kipling talked about, in his Gods of the Copybook headings, a time in which women had no more children, the men lost reason and faith, and the Gods of the Copybook headings said, the wages of sin is death. And the Gods of the Copybook headings, with terror and slaughter, returned. Speaking of the breakdown of social systems in the 20th century, understood that these systems were coming down and coming down hard and fast. He understood that when he wrote this poem in 1923. He just didn't understand the birth implosions would be as severe as they were in the 20th century and the 21st century. Well, friends, we're going to talk today about the Church of England, first of all, in appointing the first female diocesan bishop. Now, this isn't the first bishop. There's been two other bishops. This is the third. But in this case, this female bishop is a diocesan bishop, which makes her a little more important. She's not the Archbishop of Canterbury at this point.
But she could be.
But she could be, sure. So this is big news. Rachel Treweek, the Archdeacon of Hackney, was today announced as the first diocesan woman bishop in the Church of England. Now, why is this important? This is important because the breakdown of manhood. This is an indication of a society that's collapsing. Now, I know some of my opponents are going to say, you're overstating the case. See, there you go again, Swanson. You're overstating the case. A society in which half the kids are born outside wedlock. Society in which men hardly exist. The majority of households are led by women. Is a society in trouble. In a lot of trouble. It's a society in which, yes, of course, the church is going to appoint female pastors and bishops. Of course. Why? Because it's a society that's been destroyed. It's a society that's taken a nuclear bomb to its social systems. Okay, we're all sitting in hospitals. And there's triage going on everywhere. Now, why do I say that? Isaiah 3. Again, I'm appealing to Scripture here, friends. I can only interpret reality. Some of you are frogs that have been in this water for a long time, and it's 211.999 degrees, and you have no idea what's happening to you. No idea. Not a clue what's happening to you. But we can use the eyeglasses of the Word of God to interpret our reality. And here it is. You want to know our reality? Anybody want to know our reality? You want to know what's happening out there? Isaiah 3 and verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. Okay, there it is. Destruction. Your leaders have destroyed you. That is already your leaders have destroyed you. And I would take that to mean the fathers of families who have abandoned their kids on the day they were born. 50% of these millennials are having kids outside of wedlock.
Yeah, in the BBC report of this, there's a picture with a caption under there that you could almost read this. You know, some evangelicals are convinced the Bibles teach male headship.
Yeah,
you know, so they're convinced of that because why? Because it actually says that,
right? And 1 Timothy 2 is pretty clear, about women not leading within the body of the church, and yet our society is such that people are saying it's inevitable. It's just going to happen. You have no men, so it's inevitable. Well, we need to go to sackcloth and ashes. If women are going to lead, here's where they can lead: in sackcloth and ashes. And I don't see a lot of that. I see feminist pride.
Right.
I see feminist pride everywhere. I don't see much in terms of sackcloth and ashes. I don't see much in terms of what Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel were going through during the destructive years of the kingdom of Israel. I don't see people responding to these issues properly. They're not seeing the real issue. And the breakdown of manhood is the inevitable consequence of sin. One of the problems we've had in our movement, Steve, I'm convinced of this, and I want everybody to listen to me here because I've thought about this for a long time. I think one of the problems with our movement is we had the impression we could just fix manhood. We could present a couple of radio shows, run a couple of conferences, some father-son retreats, and voila, we had fixed manhood, as if it could be fixed with duct tape. See, a lot of these books and resources and conferences on manhood, they bring all this duct tape to try to fix manhood. And these guys go back to the same issues, same problems, same social disintegration. Why? Here's why, friends. Because the problem fundamentally is not manhood. The problem fundamentally is sin.
Amen.
That's it. It's sin. You say, well, what's sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. Check it out, 1 John. We've transgressed the law of God. And, Steve, I still think there are a lot of churches that say, oh, yeah, we preach the law and we preach about sin. But they're not really admitting to their own sin. They're preaching the sin of homosexuality and the sin of abortion and sin of everybody else out there. The sin of everybody who doesn't agree with us on Calvinism, or the sin of everybody who doesn't agree with us on the amount of water to use in the baptism, or the sin of everybody else who doesn't agree with me on this or that. Have we really come face to face with our own sin? Because I don't think manhood in our families and churches will be fixed until we repent of our sin. And when you get down to it, it's the sin of selfishness, the sin of lust, fornication, porn habits, self-gratification. I think self-gratification, sexual self-gratification, is the root of homosexuality. In my book, Keep the Faith, Volume 2, I encourage you to grab a copy of Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality. I talk about that. Find some historical data on the issue of self-gratification and homosexuality. It's considered in church history to be homosexuality light, something that hardly anybody talks about these days.
Yeah.
But I think we ought to be talking about it. Okay? You say, well, we're going to restore manhood. Not until we deal with the problem of lust, porn habits, self-gratification, selfishness, self-centeredness. The love of many has grown cold. It's not much love. And if you haven't been convicted of your lack of love, and I have, the last couple of weeks especially, my interaction with my wife and my kids, you know, there were a lot of tears at family worship a couple of weeks ago on this issue. It began with me. And we were really convicted of our lack of love for each other within our own family. And I know, Steve, you've confessed to that as well in this program.
Yeah. And we still work on it. Yeah. With us, it's a lot of sarcasm.
Yeah.
Between each other.
Yeah. I get that too. I do that.
Yeah.
I do that. So the root issue, you say, what is the root issue? Again, I'm not even talking about female bishops and female pastors right now. I'm just talking about sackcloth and ashes in these areas. And feminist pride. Within the home, especially among our ladies who have a hard time submitting to their husbands in the Lord. That needs to be addressed. I just read a book on marriage, and very little about submission, almost nothing on submission. A lot of qualifications. Submission doesn't mean this. Submission doesn't mean that. Submission doesn't mean this. Submission doesn't mean that. A lot of kowtowing,
yeah,
but very little on submission. You know, the point being that everybody's a servant in this household, you know, but again, giving the women excuses for not submitting to their own husbands. Why? Because the root issue is pride. Feminist pride is a huge root that has rooted itself into the hearts of tens of millions, no, hundreds of millions of women. And they're not really dealing with it. They're not really bringing it to the cross. They're not really repenting of this basic problem that goes all the way back to Eve.
Yeah, because it says that, you know, the husband will rule over you, but the woman's desire is for the husband. And that word desire is the same word as used as with God and Cain. Sin has its desire for you. And so the desire of the women is to rule, and the men are going to knock them down. And eventually then the men become wimps.
Women had no more children, and the men lost reason and faith, and that's why female bishops in England, that's why manhood is virtually destroyed today, that's why fatherlessness is rampant everywhere, and the birth rates are imploding and will implode even more. And we're going to touch on that story in just a moment. A new survey from the Public Religion Research Institute in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. Why is it that Christian liberal arts colleges always seem to move towards more evolutionary naturalism and anti-supernaturalism, more homosexuality and more liberalism in general? Even good evangelical Christian schools. Why? Because Christians have forfeited the war of the worldviews in academia and liberal arts.
and we will lose each successive generation until we begin to re-engage the war of ideas in the high school and university classrooms. That's why I wrote the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Don't let your family be spoiled by worldly philosophies. Get apostate now on a buy one, get one special. Buy one for you and get one for your son or daughter or grandchild for free. Buy one, get one free now at generationswithvision.com.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast, friends. Things are getting worse. They have. Hey, there's seven times more kids born outside of wedlock than there were in 1960. 95% of Americans confess to premarital sex on their wedding day. Yeah, things are getting worse. They're not getting any better. And they're bound to get worse with the millennial generation. That, according to a survey from the Public Religion Research Institute, 87% of Catholic women, 78% of white Protestant women want government-subsidized contraceptives. Okay, we're beyond Margaret Sanger now. Now we're, okay, we don't just want the free market on contraceptives and abortifacients. We want government-subsidized abortifacients for everybody. And, word on the street has been that the millennials are more pro-life than the previous. Now, there are some fantastic millennials out there. We don't want to diss all. In fact, I don't even call them millennials. I don't call the 25 to 35s who have a biblical perspective on things. They still have their manhood and womanhood intact, and they're engaged in the kingdom of God with everything in them. We're training these people in some of our Worldview Academy camps and other things, and the speech debate thing. Yeah, well, by God's grace, something's happened in the kitchens and living rooms across this country. But we're looking at the mass here. The mass millennials, friends, are more pro-abortion than the previous generations. Okay,
yes.
That's Pew Research. That's pure and simple Pew Research. But the PRRI Institute found that 58% of millennials believe an abortion, quote, is the most responsible decision that a woman can make, unquote. What are they saying? What they're saying is abortion is preferable. 58% would abort their own kid because it's the most responsible decision that you can make. By the way, the other 50%, or a significant 50% of millennials, out of the 58 and over that, the ones who are actually having children are having them out of wedlock. So if the baby's making it out of the womb, that baby has no father. That's the way the millennials are today. You know what? That shocked me. That did. I had to read that several times. 58% of millennial women or people, millennials, believe an abortion is the most responsible decision a woman can make. That shocked me. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm amazed.
I would have thought the most responsible thing to do would be to wait till marriage.
Yeah.
But apparently not.
That's not happening either.
No.
Just remember, 44% of these, or about 40% of these kids were born outside of wedlock themselves. 40% of their parents had divorces. So, yeah, you're not going to grow a wonderful generational heritage out of that.
No.
Once you have unlocked the dysfunctionality, the breakdown of the family in the baby boomer generation, the Gen X generation, friends, this is where you're headed. This is where it's going. This is where it's going. You're looking at more dysfunctionality. Now, as it turns out, the millennial generation, the fundamental issue is they're not absolutistic. They're at all. They hate absolutism. They hate somebody to read on the air, thou shalt not anything.
Right.
Commit adultery, murder, fill in the blank. They hate it. Anybody who's going to say there is a God and he has said thou shalt not murder, they hate that. They hate it. They're relativistic to the core. The millennials are relativistic to the core. Now, they will allow for every perversion. But now here's a distinction about the millennials, and I think this is pretty accurate. They're not going to enforce abortion. They're not into forced abortions. And this may be the good news for those on the islands of freedom we talk about in the program. We talk about social islands. We talk about medical islands of freedom. We talk about cultural islands. We talk about a lot of islands. And almost every one of my books now is is defending some island for whatever faith will exist in the years to come. But they're not going to force abortions. And that's the good news. In some sense, that's the good news. At least it's not going to be as bad as China was in the 1980s and 1990s. But they are going to abort like crazy. They're going to abort like crazy. Their birth rate's coming down. Hello, England. Hello, Italy. It's going to happen here. The birth rate right now is 1.9, heading down to 1.1 for the millennials. Yeah, birth implosions. Yes, worker to retiree ratio, one-fifth of what it was in 1980. Yeah, all of that. Yeah, just fill in the blank. Yeah. Euthanasia, yeah.
Yeah, what about forced euthanasia? Do you think that what about their kids, the millennials' kids? Are they going to then follow suit into forced abortion?
I think they'll encourage euthanasia.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying here. They're encouraging abortion. 58% are encouraging abortion. Everybody should abort their kid.
Right.
58% of millennials say everybody should abort their kid. There's a huge encouragement. I think there'll be an encouragement to euthanasia. Forced euthanasia, I think they'll come to those with dementia and say, you want to be euthanized? Just start nodding your head, and they'll grab the head and nod it a few times. And they'll go, see, nodded his head,
yeah.
And then they'll euthanize.
Right.
That's the way the millennials will do it. Now, I speak, of course, allegorically here, metaphorically here.
Yeah.
That's effectively what they're going to wind up doing. That's the only way they're going to be able to keep their economies going and live the lifestyle they want to live, because they're very self-centered, very narcissistic. It's all about me, as Time magazine said on the front cover 2 years ago. It is the me generation that's coming, and that's not going to be healthy for the baby boomers retiring in 2030.
Right. But then if the millennials and their children are not having children, and the Christians are, then eventually won't the Christians catch up?
Well, you know, the problem is we make up about 7-8% of the population right now.
Yeah.
If you take the millennial population and you take away all the 50% of them that are already apostatized into homosexual marriage and they're liberalizing as they go. You've got probably 8-9% of Americans who are still professing Christians. Of those, there's probably only 1-2% of them that are having children somewhat above the replacement level of 2.0 or 2.1. Yeah. So, there's 1-2% left in America having kids. And most of those are listening to our radio show.
Yeah.
I have to tell
you. But you can't sustain your population.
On 1-2%.
No. Well, and you can't sustain it. And the millennials can't sustain and pass on their...
It ain't going to happen.
It
ain't going to happen. And remember, there are 40 million Americans over 65 right now. That number is 89 million in the next 25 years.
Right.
Okay? We're going from 40 million to 89 million. With the imploding birth rates, with the worker-to-retiree ratio one-third of what it was in 1960. So keep that in mind. We're heading towards euthanasia like a freight train.
Yeah, can't build that many nursing homes.
And that's why the Christian Family Elder Care Conference.
Yeah.
And we've got 0.00001% of Americans there at the conference.
Yeah.
And as far as we know, not another conference like this anywhere in the country. And yes, it's very hard to get people to have some foresight and to plan ahead. But those who do, those who build the ark, and we were told by one of the medical doctors there, we are building the ark.
Yeah.
We are the ones building the ark. He says, there will be some. In fact, this is Peter Rosenberg, a very sweet guy.
Yeah.
Friends of the Tatas. But he was great, by the way. Great speaker. He said there will be people clawing at the ark. This is what he's using, sort of dramatic language. But my encouragement to everybody listening to the program, you didn't make it to the conference, obviously. I encourage you to get the series of tapes. They're powerful, absolutely powerful. Get the series of recordings, the MP3. It's just like $29 or something. It's pretty reasonable. But get that series at ChristianFamilyElderCare.org or at our website, GenerationsWithVision.com, because that's going to be critical for the years to come. Steve, you were there. You spoke. I spoke. This was a critical conference. And I hope that somehow we will salvage about 100,000 Christians in America with something of a vision for salvaging the next generation. When it comes to long-term care, 89% of families taking care of somebody in a caregiving long-term care situation break up their family. The family is destroyed. That, according to Peter Rosenberger, who's been caring for his invalid wife for 30 years.
No, this conference was powerful. Powerful. Talked about what Jesus would do, what real Christians do. We came down to a conference about what real Christians are all about. And, you know, I was thinking, if you've ever bought a conference tape series, throw them all away. If you bought them from Generation, throw them away. Get this one.
Yeah.
Why? Because we're getting down to the real root issue, the real practical issues for what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and it's families taking care of families. What did Jesus say? He said, you will know you're my disciples, or the world will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And part of that is taking care of your own family. And what was it, Timothy? If you don't take care of your own family, you're worse than an unbeliever.
Yeah.
And so we've got to learn to do that. And it is inconvenient, yeah, but it is right.
Steve, your thoughts on the conference itself. You were there. You spoke twice.
Yeah. And I had a pretty good crowd there, and there was a lot of questions afterwards. I think people were surprised a little bit by all of the information that was there. I had one person say it was like trying to take a drink out of a fire hose.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to have to get these MP3s and listen to them in little bits at a time, because there is a lot of information.
For anybody who has parents and anybody who's growing old, now, if you're not growing old, if you're not going to grow old, and you don't have parents or grandparents, or there are no elderly in your church, then I would recommend you not buy this tape series.
Yeah, but if you plan to grow old, if you're going to make it to the old team,
mm-hmm,
you know, I spoke on normal aging process, mm-hmm, and then also when things don't go as normal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that my talks were not depressing, because you know, I think God allows us to grow old and things to wear out so that we won't cling to this life and we are have more of an eternal perspective.
The Christian Family Elder Care MP3 available at generationswithvision.com or kevinswanson.com. Highly recommended. Highly recommended. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five and a son of Ralph and Carol Swanson, whom I'm responsible for caring for. They cared for me. I'm caring for them. That's the deal. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com and get the Christian Family Elder Care series at generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.